Great, you came. Amazing. Hi, there's somebody here. This is good. A lot of people were here on 5 p.m., so I'm not sure how many people finally trickle in, so this is great. Why are we doing this? Why did you take May 19th? Beautiful day, spring. You could have been in someplace else. You could have been probably in your mother's house in the Poconos. It's May. We all disappear for a while and come back later when we finally wake up after summer. One of the reasons you do it, because you're radical kind of people and you do stuff like this. Pentecost is a day for you, so I hope you enjoy it. It's a day for the radicals to kind of come out and do what they do. They're the kind of people who aren't, God's not still trying to ask them to do something all the time. They've kind of gone off the other side where they're asking God to do stuff now. God's no longer like this boyfriend or girlfriend that's always calling you up and saying, won't you please come out on a date with me? Won't you please do something with me? Won't you please be kind to me? You know, God's not put in that position anymore where he's still trying to seek after you. No, you said, yeah, we're together now. I'm with you now. And now why don't you come and be with me and change the world with me? I'm on your side. Let's do this thing. It's kind of a radical day for that. So I hope you enjoy it as we go through it. We're mainly going to dwell a lot in Acts chapter 2, where this particular holiday gets started. And so you'll hear a lot about that. Rachel and I will both be telling you things about that. And then we'll get to exercise some things too. As people come in, if they don't know what's going on, kind of go, it's Pentecost Sunday. Enjoy yourself. There's going to be fire. Don't be afraid. It's a good thing. Let me pray for us as we get going. Lord, bless us as we're met today. We have a big subject kind of on the table. New things in our mind, perhaps. Soften our hearts. Help us to be present so we can receive from you what it is you have in mind and in heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The team was playing that song. We have a prayer for you to start with. A way to get to think about it. Meet me, Lord Jesus, on the way to lengthening my will to meet you. Face me, Lord Jesus, on my way to turning a true face. On my way to turning.
Good evening, I'm Rachel. As Rod was saying, this evening we're remembering a cosmological day in the history of the world, and especially for spiritual seekers everywhere. The story begins with Jesus comforting his followers that although he was about to leave the earth in the body, he would send them a gift, his own spirit, to give them power to be his witnesses all over the world. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem for this gift to come upon them, and then he ascended into heaven in a cloud. And the disciples listened to him, and so 50 or so days later, these men and women were praying in Jerusalem and getting organized and growing in love for each other, and they were waiting on God for further instruction. The city was jam-packed with pilgrims and religious postulants because it was a holy holiday called Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of the Harvest. And this particular holiday was kept in remembrance of God delivering the law on Mount Sinai to Moses. And that was the moment that the Jewish people considered to be like the institution of their church. And so I think it was by no coincidence that God breathed on his followers that day a new law that did away with the old one completely. A law that freed the believers to spread the message of life to every nation and tribe and language. God birthed a new church, the body of Christ in the world, available to everyone. God breathed life right into his own body through his followers. And it was an opportunity to be connected to God like never before. And it was an opportunity to be connected to others like never before. Not like the internet provides, but this heart-to-heart, spiritual, spirit-to-spirit connection. The gift didn't descend in a cloud like Jesus had mysteriously ascended, because the Holy Spirit came to dispel and scatter the clouds that confuse our human minds and hearts and to bring light into the world. So this is how it happened on that day. If you can, close your eyes and imagine it happening still. They were all in one place together, and suddenly out of nowhere there was a gust, this driving force of wind. The walls sounded like they were waking up, stretching and creaking. The floor shuddered beneath them, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them flames of fire that looked like tongues, which came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages, because the Spirit enabled them. Immigrants from all over the world were in Philadelphia at the time, and some heard the sound, all that noise, and they came together in a large crowd, a little scared, a little excited. They listened to those in the room speaking, and they realized that each person in the crowd could understand. Each one heard them speaking in her own language. They were amazed, astonished. They kept on grabbing each other. They were scared and excited. In amazement, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Americans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Venezuelans, Mexicans, and Hondurans. From Vietnam, Korea, and Italy, we are Dominican, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. We speak Congolese and Mandarin. Some of us speak French or Cantonese. Yet we hear them speaking directly to each of us of the mighty acts and love of God." And let's pray together out loud. I'll read the parts in purple, and I invite you to respond in red. Creator God, you gave us an audible summons to awaken our expectations of something great. Your Spirit came suddenly, not gradually, with an alarming sound from heaven like thunder. The force of the mighty rushing wind that filled the room revealed your power to influence and transform our hearts and minds. The convictions of your Spirit make way for your comforts. Wake us up, Lord, with your power. Reveal yourself in us.
Meet me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit here with us.
Awesome God, you gave us a visible sign of the gift you are giving. The tongues of fire were one, like you are one, and we are one in you, before they separated and rested on each individual. They all burned brightly in the same kind of way because their source was the same. In the wonderful diversity of our experiences and expressions, give us unquenchable common ground. The flames that rested on your disciples were a sign of change. Your spirit, like fire, melts the heart, separates and burns up the waste, and ignites holy affections. This is the fire you came to spread throughout the earth. Burn in us, Jesus. Produce in us the fruits of your spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fill us with you and let your warmth radiate out from us. When your spirit came upon those first disciples, they were enabled to connect with others in ways well beyond their intellect or natural abilities. They were empowered to speak your wonders to those who hadn't heard. This was your way of showing that you are for all people, not some privileged few. You included people by speaking their language. Speak to us in our own languages, God, and empower us to be understood by others. Free our tongues to speak of your wonders.
Meet me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your spirit dealing with us.
Spirit of God, we don't limit you with our expectations, with who we think you are. You exist outside of our limited understanding, and yet you dwell with us. God with us. Let us know your presence this evening in the midst of our uncertainties. Let us feel something, even if we're a little scared or a little excited. We all want to wake up to the truth of who you are, what you did, and what you are doing.
Amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your spirit
with us. Amen.
Yeah, let's keep singing it with that song we just learned.
Meet me, Lord Jesus, on the way to lengthening my will to meet you. Face me, Lord Jesus, on my way to turning a true face.
Saw what seemed like tongues of fire that came and separated and came to rest on each of them. What a strange picture. I mean, people see this picture and they just kind of, freak out a little bit. I mean, I think sometimes you get this picture in your head about what must have been happening and you just kind of go by it and get on to the next thing that's for like more normal people or something like this. What in the world's going on? Here's the Lego version, if that helps you. I mean, maybe that, can you get it? I don't know if it really works that well, but it just kind of, it kind of gets people worked up a little bit, like what is happening? What happened to their hair? I mean, like, didn't it singe if there was fire on their head? Weren't they in some kind of like little building that's like made of wood basically, or something like that, then like burn down? What happened with, what's really going on with this fire thing? And I don't know what you do with scripture. I mean, it's I think it's good to like dwell in it. If you get someplace that doesn't make sense to you, you don't just pass it on and say, well, that's either for them or for somebody else. I'm gonna get on to love your neighbor as yourself or something. I can get that. And to skip this, it might be a better place to just like dwell a little bit and try to figure it out. Because this fire that they're talking about, that's being is a common thing that people might have gotten if, as a metaphor, if nothing else. It's the same kind of fire that Moses, remember Moses when he was up on Mount Sinai and he saw that burning bush, remember that incident? And it said that the bush wasn't consumed, but there was this fire in it. It's that same kind of thing. The glory of God is being revealed. We don't quite know how to describe it to him, except like fire, and so we do. But there was this fire in the bush. There's this fire that's coming upon them. It's this glory of God, that God is investing the first church with the Lord's abiding presence. On the day of Pentecost, what's happening here is that the Holy Spirit's like building a new temple for the Spirit of God to dwell in. If you looked into what I think it's the book of Enoch, this is actually talked about where tongues of fire come and build this new temple, forges it stone by stone and builds it up because God wants to live among people, present to them like it was always intended. And that's what's happening on this particular day. When Peter talks about it in his letter that he wrote back to all the people that he knew, 1 Peter, maybe you've read that before, he talks about it, that y'all are living stones. You're being built into this new temple where God lives by his Spirit. It's this great organic image that's actually using stones. It's a brand new picture that he's trying to get into people's head. It's really a profound moment in history. We don't want to just pass it by, speeding through the Bible. And it keeps getting repeated again and again in every generation in these very miraculous ways, like God has been doing here too. And it gets started with each of us. There's three movements I want to go through in this scripture, and I'm going to appear at different times to do it. But first, I want to start off with one movement. It starts with each of us. The fire separated, it said, and came to rest upon each of them. In the old language, it says the fire became cloven, like a cow has cloven hooves. I can't remember. Somebody has cloven hooves, but you know they're separated in pieces. Cloven is the word, and you go and it came and separated on the different people. So it starts with this this individual matter. Paul teaches later, you know, your bodies. Your own bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. All of us matter. This is a big moment for that. All of us matter. And it makes a difference whether you personally, not just everybody else, but whether you also personally receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It counts whether you can be moved to move with God living in you and living through you. It matters. Everyone matters. It's important to remember this day, I think, to remember that on this day, or you could get swallowed up by the kind of spirit of the age. It's coming from outside. It's coming to you individually, making you into a new kind of person. You could just get swallowed up otherwise in the identity politics of the day, you might say. And I don't mean, there's a lot of things that teach this, but that's the one we always are talking about, which tells you that your desires, even your chemicals, your genetic makeup decides who you are. It all comes outside of you. If there's a spirit that's going to be given to the world, it's going to be your spirit, and you bless the world with whatever you are. And that's your destiny to do that if there's anything for you to do. The alternative community, the culture that God has made for himself, continues to make by the power of the Spirit, says something else. By the Spirit, God comes upon us and makes us transformed, living stones, and our bodies are the temple in which God lives by His Spirit. There's this commingling that makes us who we are. There's this newness that God is required to make. So how's that work? Is a tongue of fire going to happen in about 5 minutes? That's this Pentecost. Let's have it. Is it going to singe my toupee? And we're finally going to figure out what this is all about. I'm going to feel it some way. I hope to feel it some way. And if it's literal fire, I could go with that. But I'm really talking about that glory, that fire of God, that deeper fire in which you are called personally to share with God. And it's going to be life-changing enough, as you know already, most of you, you know, that it is a little scary day by day as we walk through life with God. But ultimately, it's going to make you feel like you're one with God and like you're being your true self. The Pentecostals, of whom I am very fond, you know who Pentecostals are? You might have a stereotype that just came to your head. They're often on TV. The ones I grew up with literally had big hair. I'm not kidding. And I was in church with those people, and I love them. I am one. I'm a Pentecostal. And they had this great corrective at the beginning of the 20th century where they said, in the Bible, people are being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Like, why didn't you tell us about this? All you preachers get up and go, blah, 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 and you're always this heady thing that we're doing, and lots of rules. Where's the Spirit of God that's making me into my true self, and I'm having this great experience with God, person to person? I want to have this thing. I want to be, like, on the day of Pentecost, I want to be a Pentecostal. I think it's brilliant. And they did. They waited for it, and they asked for it, and they got filled with much more than just trying to make society moral or trying to learn every jot and tittle in the Bible. They actually were kind of making the Bible. They were kind of being the Bible. I like that. I want that. I think sometimes they kind of make people scared because they get on TV and kind of do these wild things, and they make you think that if I get to be one of those people, if I actually got filled with the Spirit, I'd have to have this really ecstatic practice all the time. I'd have to like run around the room at worship or something. I'd have to do something, you know, that's kind of outside my normality. And they kind of make you feel like, and if you don't do it, you probably don't got it. So us people who are doing wild things, we got it, and the rest of you slobs don't have much. They kind of did that. That's the bad side of it. It's often a much quieter experience, and y'all are kind of quieter, so that might be that way for you. I don't think you should denigrate yourself because you aren't like what the Pentecostals made Pentecost into. It's okay. Being filled with the Spirit is expressed in a lot of different ways. I've done some ecstatic things. I love that. Maybe I'm that kind of person. But the Spirit of God also got people to have a baby goods exchange yesterday. How crazy is that? You took one of your valuable Saturdays in May, and you had a baby goods exchange, which is kind of weird in itself, and just invited everybody you could think of to come exchange baby goods, which that is a good thing, which it really is. And you made all these new connections, and you were moved to do that by the power of your Spirit. The power of the Spirit makes, like Rachel and Ben, want to plant the church and do crazy things like lead the church, which is kind of crazy, I can tell you, by personal experience. It's a weird thing to be doing, to be moved to do. And only the Spirit of God can actually kind of get you to do it, I think. It's what draws people into a cell group. How weird is our cell group? We're sitting out in the park in Rittenhouse, having our version of the base community of this new humanity. You know, and people in park are just across the street are just going crazy. They're really noisy at that restaurant. And they're doing what they do at park. We're doing what we do at Jesus. And the distinction, the juxtaposition is kind of crazy. What gets people to do things like that if it's not the Spirit of God? If you don't just go to Quizzo or something to find your community, but you actually find your community with Jesus, that's the Spirit of God at work, right? You can see where I'm going. It's what causes people to write a check. It's what causes them to go on pilgrimage. It makes you sit down and pray. Actually pray. So you need to be careful not to make the sign of God's Spirit just the wildest thing we can think of. If I'm really filled with God's Spirit, I will just do that wild thing I'm never going to do and that I never did. And until I do it, I haven't got it. No, the message is everybody, you know, it came down on every person and God was seeking them out to fill them with the Spirit and they expressed it the way they did. Pentecost is one day of the year. It was one day in the Bible. And there's lots of other ways that the Spirit of God is seen in all the individuals God touches. So don't let that go. Rachel's going to give us a moment to individually connect.
Let's pray together to be filled. I think it's good sometimes to make our bodies do, make our bodies demonstrate the intent of our heart. So if you agree, hold your hands out in a receptive pose. And let's pray. Fill me, Lord Jesus. Fill each of us because we need to be filled. Our flesh cries out for the living God. Reveal to us, Lord, those parts of ourselves that especially need your touch. And now, Lord, let us be open to your healing work, however that may come. Even tonight, God, shine your light on those hidden places of woundedness in us. Bring your love and mercy right where we need it. Reveal to us, Lord, that you are here, that you are present, and that you are available to us in our need and in our capacity. Fill us up with your grace and fire. Amen.
This song kind of helps us figure out how to work with that in such a trying time. It's new to us, but you'll get it. I go back what I say, and the team will help you do it. In such a love.
In such a love.
Such a love.
In such a love.
It's hard to do right.
It's hard to do right.
As your people.
As your people.
So much trouble.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting up with my little commute. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. A lot of emphasis when we talk about spirituality, just in general, often talks about what we're experiencing ourselves. It's kind of a personal thing. And we often miss the fact that the Holy Spirit's basic work form a new community. The Holy Spirit's basic work is to form this alternative culture. When Paul talks about it, he talks about it in about the biggest language he can. He says God's making a new creation. He's recreating. Those remaining followers of Jesus, the ones who hadn't scattered never to return, the ones who weren't so afraid of the Romans they didn't want to be together with people who could get them implicated with some crazy thing, the ones who weren't afraid that much of the Jewish opponents and were still sticking together, were waiting for what Jesus had promised. Jesus had talked to them when he rose from the dead. He said, no, wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Something new is going to happen, and you should be there to receive it. So the implication was that they were still meeting together, and they were having a prayer meeting, I guess. They were waiting. They were waiting together. Even though their family said, boy, you really are nuts, aren't you? You're following Jesus. Now what are you doing now? You just hang out in Jerusalem all day? You're waiting? That's a little crazy. You know, what's going on? When are you going to go back to work? You know, when are you going to come back to the family? All that kind of pressure. You can imagine what was going on with them. But they were waiting. They were sticking to it. They were believing what Jesus said. They had banded together in expectation and in faith. And the Holy Spirit came upon them all, and as a group, they expressed this fire. Now, you know, because you were reading 1 Corinthians earlier in the year when we went through it in Circle of Hope Daily Prayer, that the Apostle Paul gives some pretty exhaustive teaching about what this means. That whole book is basically about what does it mean to be the body of Christ? What does it mean when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you form this new body? It all starts with people, those individuals, but he says, as individuals, you weren't much, were you? Remember that? You weren't very wise, you weren't the elite, you weren't rich, you were just regular people. You were basically like clay jars, he calls himself. I was one of you. I was a nothing, I was a clay jar. And God poured his Spirit into me. Partly so that the clay jar wouldn't get in the way and God's glory would really be seen. And you as a people are like that. He said, the Holy Spirit is like the leaven from heaven, and you're the dough. And they're coming in and making this new organic kind of thing going that Joshua can tell you all about scientifically when you want to ask him later. But this new thing that was kind of inevitable started happening, like yeast in the dough, and they were becoming this peculiar kind of people where, if you remember how he went through it in the book, people are sacred. The individuals are sacred, not just sex objects or objects to be oppressed in any way. Relationships get spiritually discerned. They're not just adjudicated by laws, certainly not the laws of the world. The Holy Spirit is among us and will help us have the relationships discerned that way. Real freedom is worked out. While we even have the capacity to be compassionate to people who can't handle the new freedom and are messing it up, it all gets brought together. People have the strength to discipline themselves for completing the Lord's mission, and they do. They do these things that actually are sacrificial in the sense, just like Jesus, so that they complete what Jesus had in mind to do. Everyone's individual gifts are honored as part of the new community. It's an organism. It's a body that lives out the truth in love. We're the resurrected people of God. We are the resurrected body of Jesus. He gets to chapter 15 and bam, we are the resurrected body of Jesus. And if you don't get this, if you don't understand it, you don't understand what I've been talking about the whole time. That's what we're talking about. We should celebrate that all the time as a people and figure out what that means. Not too easy in this era, but I think we can do it. I think we are doing it. But sometimes when we're doing our ceremonies, like we're going to do when we light our candles, some of you are familiar with this, it's almost like taking communion in a different way. Sometimes when we do that, we kind of give people that space, you know, like when they're having their communion time with Jesus, I should kind of back off and not let them see me out of the corner of their eye. I kind of make sure they're having their cordoned off space, because we're Americans and we like our space, and I'm doing something individual because that's when spiritual things happen in private, right? They don't happen in public. So even when we're doing this public ceremony, we still give people their space. And we try not to make sure we're not even in their line of sight. Don't touch them, whatever you do. That would really mess things up. They'd have to like start over and get back into their space. I'm thinking that maybe we shouldn't do that so much. It is very intimate, but it's very public when we do these kinds of things. And you should admire people who are doing it. When they're doing something, watch them and enjoy it. Be one with them in it. They're doing what you do too. You're doing that thing we do. You're being that people we are. We're symbolizing that oneness as the body of Christ. So we should probably touch each other just like we've been touched by the Holy Spirit and enjoy that connectedness. Because Paul says that no one can even say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All those different things you do, you might be a million different ways with different expressions of the Spirit, but it's all the one Spirit. It's all that one body. And all those manifestations of the Spirit are given for the common good. And we, as a whole, we represent Jesus Christ when we stick together, when we're self-consciously that body. When we don't just like go to Circle of Hope, but we actually are the body of Christ, represented as Circle of Hope. We can actually get that into our head and do it. Now, this isn't a pitch for more money, but I'm going to talk about money. We don't really need any more money right now. We do need money. Don't stop, but you know what I mean. We got lots of money right now. But I didn't want to get this wrong thing, because someone would say, shoot, he's talking about money on Pentecost. He'll even use a holiday just to get more money or something. But it's radical what we do when we actually have a common fund. It's a good expression about being the body of Christ in a very tangible way. We're not shy about talking about money, I think, but we've kind of been shy about raising it, since we think that people who are the body of Christ will maintain their own body. Like, I don't have to ask you, like, share your money in a common fund too much, because that would be like this movement of the Spirit in you. Of course you would do that. What else would you do? Of course, it's your body. Or would you not feed it or something, or not take care of it? You wouldn't respect it enough to clothe it and do everything that you decided it meant to be the body in this territory. So far, so good. I don't have to get up and talk to you like, hey, we need like 10% more money this month to reach our goal, and the little thermometer's gonna go up and it'll explode and we'll have a new building or something. We don't do that very often, because we just have expected you to be the kind of people who share, and it's worked out pretty good. And you know how we started. It's just like Paul started 1 Corinthians. Not many of us were much. You know, when we first started, we were a bunch of punks and a couple struggling professionals. Thank God for those professionals. They are like stinking rich right now. Who knew? But now they're rich. They weren't then. And we managed to make it into be the body of Christ in this place, which is not exactly the best place to plant the seed of the church. We ended up creating businesses, right? This is pretty good. We created new congregations from that start. Our counseling centers. There's like 13 compassion teams. Along the way, through the sharing that we did, we managed to have 10% of our money in this common pot for the compassion fund, which you don't hear about very often, but we give thousands of dollars away every month to people who are needy, especially if they're getting psychotherapy. We're always involved in that. And the people who need to stay in their house, need to figure out how to do something with their distressed mother or something like that. We have a lot of things that happen all the time. And we gave 10% of our money in another common pot that we don't talk about that often, that we give all over the world, just to be part of compassion, be part of the mission of Christ all over the place, plus the money that Circle Thrift makes just for that purpose, to underwrite what MCC does all over the world. And that's all from what's basically just the strange people who manage to share their money, and look what they can do. It's a great expression of what Paul's talking about, the Spirit of God filling a people and seeing how all those things work out. I feel good about that. So let's just feel good about that. Let's let Rachel help us talk about it to God.
Let's pray again together. This time, not just as individuals, but about us as a collective, the body. Take if you will, take the hands of the people on either side of you. If you can reach across the aisle. And not mitten style, but try to do it intertwined style. That's good. Let's take a deep breath together. And let's pray together out loud. Fill us, Lord Jesus. Fill us, Lord Jesus. Let's say it again. Fill us, Lord Jesus. And I'll pray some more. Lord, just like our voices are echoing in this room, we want your love to reverberate through our body. We want to be known as people who love each other and love you, and we want that love to spill out. So I pray that you'd bring us together, you'd grow us in unity and in faith. Lord, I know that you are here with us. I thank you for that. Fill us up to the brim with your goodness. Amen. Thanks for trying that. Speaking of goodness, we've taken on this practice over the past 50 days of noticing the good that God's been doing in us and in the world. I think it's been a fun discipline, collecting this evidence of God's Spirit at work and sharing it with one another. Steve's going to start our slideshow here behind us. It's just a small sample even of our collection. And we know that we only collected, you know, little moments and fractions of the good that God is doing. I think it's been good to get beyond our self-reliance and acknowledge God in our everyday lives. In my cell group's meeting this past week, my friend Patrick shared how it's challenging for him at times to see God at work through him in the ER hospital setting he works in because it's such a scientific environment. And the very next day after our meeting, a man came in saying he'd been simply feeling tired over the past few weeks. And for some reason, Patrick was prompted to stay with him for a while because something seemed off, even though it's not really protocol for ER nurses to stay with people. And over the next 20 minutes, he saw this man deteriorate into a full cardiac arrest. And he was able, because he was there, he was able to help him right away. Later on, after his artery had been unblocked, Patrick found this man praising God for him, for Patrick and this ER team that was able to respond right away. And so Patrick wrote to our cell that the Holy Spirit is real. The prompting of the Spirit helped him to save someone's life. So tonight I invite you to acknowledge the spark of the Holy Spirit in you and in us by lighting one of these 50 candles. I invite you to light a candle to demonstrate that God is alive in you and in us. We are not just flesh and blood. This is the gift of God that we've been giving. We don't need to just rely on ourselves, like Rod was saying. I think in a way that this might be a leap for some of us because we've been raised on self-esteem curriculum and given participation trophies just for showing up. And we've learned to rely on ourselves in a lot of ways, but let's not be deceived. Even though we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we have been made. It's God who made us, not we ourselves. So the Spirit of God here tonight that we're celebrating is the same Spirit that hovered over the unformed waters of the earth. It's the Spirit who discerns the thoughts and intent of every heart. The Spirit of anti-fear, the Spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. The Spirit who helps us in our weakness. The Spirit in us that testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. The Spirit that cries out to God the Father like a child who knows that he belongs. The Spirit who prays for us when we don't know what to pray, when we can only groan. God didn't leave us on our own to fumble around in the dark. He sent us the Comforter, his own self, and not some lesser version of himself, but fully God. So this is the gift that I invite you to acknowledge and receive tonight by lighting a candle. And as we sing and as you watch our stories here, I invite you to pray too that we'd let the Spirit shine, that we would, that we wouldn't hide the Spirit in us, that we wouldn't quench the Spirit, but that we'd let it burn like a fire on top of a hill. Jesus said, "Where you are the light of the world, a city on a hill cannot be hidden."
We'll let that run for just one more second, then Steve will change it, but we'll sing the song to you, and then you can sing it in a minute. It's asking the Spirit to flow in one of those languages that maybe you don't know yet.
You
takes my sin, calls me friend, pays my debt, completely love, rescues me, seated me with my King
about it a little bit.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful.
Like I said before, there's three movements to what we're talking about, and I don't want to miss the last one, because things are happening individually, and things are happening corporately. And I'll find what I'm trying to say. Maybe Rachel has it, actually. Things were happening as a body. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they immediately ended up out into, they ended up out into the street, doing what the Holy Spirit did to show and tell and to reveal what God was doing. Everyone heard their own language being spoken, these languages that people had come upon them. And people were utterly amazed, and they asked, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of them is hearing them in our own native language? Galilee was like in the middle of nowhere. People thought they were the country folks. You've heard this before, maybe. And people who were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost had come from all over the diaspora of the Jews. They had gone all over the Roman Empire. And the people who could afford it ended up back in Jerusalem. So most of the people who were there for the feast probably were more elite, who can afford a passage to come back to Jerusalem to have like a week of partying on this great festival that happened every year. So they were there, and they were observing the first fruits of the harvest, technically. That's what the first kind of genesis of the holiday had been. And like Rachel was saying, it was also this seed planting that God had done in the law that came on Mount Sinai. Now there was a new thing happening, a new fire on a new mountain. There's a rebirth of God's plan to reveal his love. Because you know that the nation of Israel was planned to be this replication, this representation of God's love and truth in the world. So now God is expanding that about as far as you can imagine, and they're from all over the world finding out about it. It's happening right before their eyes. That's what the map was about, that this is where all the people mentioned in Acts 2 come from, and you can see that they're naming people from all over the known world. When the glory comes upon these first believers, this first disciples, this first church, the Spirit automatically moves them into relationships with people who needed to hear and see what God was doing. They were given ability even beyond themselves to connect. They're making this new connection. And in this case, they could speak languages of all these different people from all over the world who had come to Jerusalem to worship God. And people were amazed. I mean, who in Galilee ever learned how to speak whatever language they speak in Elam over there? in the middle of wherever. And they probably didn't even know where Libya was. Most of us don't know where Libya is either. And they didn't either. They barely knew what was in their locale. And so it was pretty amazing. And so they were amazing people whose hearts were already open. And they made that connection. And I don't want to make light of the fact that this was all about language, that God was manifesting this new thing that was happening through new language and new expressions of language, because he was undoing this endless division of humankind in these different language groups. I mean, Americans are like the specialists of this. You know, you can speak a particular kind of shoe brand. You know, niche marketing is just another extension of this endless division and dividing up that the world has been enduring ever since sin came into the picture. You know, and God's bringing people back together through this miraculous way, even though they're incredibly divided. And this new ability to speak the language of the other person, to understand one another and make that connection is what's happening. Some people have said, like I was talking about before, that this day is all about that kind of tongue speaking. And this prayer language that they were speaking on that day is replicated in this ecstatic speech that people often do in worship in different parts of the world. The language of praise, we call it speaking in tongues. That's great, I think that's wonderful. And some people have actually gotten kind of a giftedness where they have the capacity to learn somebody's actual language when they go to Indonesia or something like that. Rance may do this. He can speak like weird languages that he just picks up. And that's a particular kind of gifting maybe that was happening on this day. But I want to emphasize more than that, because I think that was just one way that they could express themselves, and they did in that very crucial way of through the medium of language. But the main thing that they were doing, and that happens in a lot of different ways too, they were making a connection. You know, they were bringing the love and truth of God into connection with people who would normally not understand them. And when we're replicating it, that's what we're doing too. We're making these kinds of connections and seeing what God's going to do. I mean, when you speak this language, when you try to connect with somebody, however you discern you might be able to do that, you don't quite know what it's going to do. I mean, they didn't have like a plan that day on the day of Pentecost. They just happened to be gifted to have the courage and the interest to go out and see if they could make that connection spirit to spirit with people who might be listening. So there were hearers that did hear with kind of a Galilean accent. You know, they were kind of fully themselves, but they're speaking Parthian or something like that. And those people got the message. You know, they understood what was happening. God was doing it. God was making the connection. They'd have the vehicle of these people who were moved, these individuals who could be moved, this body that had been formed that makes a big impact whenever they get out in the street together. And then people could figure it out because God was making it happen. And by the end of the festival, there's thousands of people who are following Jesus. It's an amazing week in the history of the church. This keeps happening. We work on this too. The other day, Betsy Blake was telling me, for instance, you know who Betsy is? She'll love that I'm talking about her because she's like the world's best PR person. And so people all over the country know Betsy Blake, the hope of the Quakers. Only she's part of Circle of Hope now for a while, finding out what's going on with us. And she told me that people from all over the country meet with her at different points, and they have there for their devotions. Never say that word. Don't ever have devotions, okay? You can have devotion, but don't do a devotion. That's silly. But they have their devotions, and with Circle of Hope Daily Prayer. They discovered Circle of Hope Daily Prayer, and now they have this little network, then they do it together, and it's something that knits them together. Now, who knew, whenever we came up with that idea for ourselves, basically, moved by God, that someone else like the Quakers would end up getting instructed and moved by it, and it would actually start a little network where they do it together. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Who knew? God did it. God does things like that. And Betsy Blake wants to parachute into town and say, well, what else are you doing? What's going on with you guys? I want to do it in North Carolina. Some enthusiastic people came up the steps the other day. Rachel and I were in here probably sweeping or something. And so they knock on the door, and they come to find out that they've got this really roundabout way that they've ended up at Circle of Hope. Because Christina was talking about us over at Philly AIDS Thrift, That's the Christina who just got an award from the one of the Mazzoni Center. She's on this big poster and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Pretty cool. But she was talking about us, as she's wont to do. And then she went, they came this direction, ended up at Circle Thrift, because they were looking for money for how to start their new thing where they want to feed homeless people. They're like 19 years old or something like this. And they got this inspiration, and they ended up connecting with people who they thought might also be inspired. So they came over here and asked for money. I gave them seed money, and they went off to do their good thing. So that's kind of a weird connection. That's kind of stuff that God does over and over and over again. You see where I'm going with this, how this always happens. Howard and Ben are trying to get Punk Avenue to make a website for all those stories that Howard keeps collecting, where he just goes out and holds his sign up, say, come talk to me, tell me a story. And people do, and he makes a new relationship. We don't know where those new relationships are gonna go. The other night we were out in the park, my cell was in the park, at Rittenhouse Square. We're across from Park, the restaurant, where rich people are loud and drink wine or something. I don't know what they're doing over there. I still think I'm too poor to like go there, but I watch them. You know, but we were sitting across from them being the alternative community in the park, and wondering about how we're going to meet up with people. And sure enough, Rance brought a new person, and we did meet up with a new person. Literally, hundreds of people go through our stores every week in our counseling offices. And each one of those we see as one of those moments on Pentecost where you go out in the street and you see who's listening. It's a gift that we're bringing to people who are ready to hear. And we keep doing that day by day in a perfectly horrible time for the church, you might know, because the social narrative has been taken over, like Rachel was saying, by people who find meaning and purpose, but almost always by just releasing themselves from whatever might prohibit them from doing anything and being a reaction to anything that kind of puts the kibosh on any self-expression or self-assertion, so they might not be claiming their freedom or something like that. And we, as newly moved people, as people who are forming this alternative community where Jesus reigns by the power of his Spirit, we speak and act into that and wait for the miracle to occur. We were pulled together to wait. Then we were pushed out into the street in our living, breathing body. You know, maybe the church of yesterday, you know, tied to some kind of faulty thinking or something, deserved to be rejected. But then when the day of Pentecost came, there were a certain number of people who were still willing to move with the Spirit. They were not much more than have been in our two, I think they were less than have been in our two meetings in this night. And when the Holy Spirit met them, they amazed people who were in their city who were looking for God. And those people are still in our city looking for God. It's not too hard to meet them if you were out in the street trying to meet them. They're there. They're there and looking. So we should keep doing that. Keep being with them. See what God's going to do. Spend a couple of minutes here talking back a little bit and see where... Just name some places where you know that we're doing that kind of thing. We're out meeting people who are potentially listening. Maybe it's something you do. Maybe it's something you see someone else do. You can tell a story about what happened last week or a long time ago even. But move with this for a second and tell a few stories about that.
Started crying. It was really bizarre. I'm supposed to be convinced here.
don't feel obligated, but the story's interesting, encouraging.
Pray silently this time, and again, getting our bodies involved to demonstrate our heart's intent. Let's put our hands up in the air, like this, in praise to God and in prayer for other people. Don't worry about the deodorant situation. We are a body. And I hope you can call to your mind a group of people that you interact with, or maybe it's an individual, the people that you interact with, let God call somebody or a group of people to your mind, and then pray silently, Lord, fill them.
Song in Kosa, you know, will help us kind of maybe speak a language you've never spoken before. During that process, praise God.
Zia Kudu Misa, Zia Kudu Misa, Zia Kudu Misa, Zia
same time when we practice that kind of prayer. Let's try that again and remember those people again that we prayed silently for. Just bring their name up to God or bring this people group up to God, and let's have just 30 seconds of prayer out loud.
Lord, I pray.
To help us with one more thing.
I got my notes on my phone and it was locked. So there's a bunch of slides going on behind me. While I'm talking, why don't you guys take the binders on the sides of your rows and pass them up. Those binders are welcoming binders. We want to know who you are and welcome you. And there's also a poll question in there. I don't know what it is this week, but last week we asked if people would be comfortable changing the times of our PMs to 4:30 and 6:30, our public meetings. And more people said yes than no, apparently, which is quite interesting. So we're not sure what we're going to do. We might change. We might not. Sometimes we just like to ask questions and stir the pot. But so definitely answer that poll. I just want to tell you about a few things that are going on in our network. Tomorrow night at 7:30 at our congregation in New Jersey, Marlton and Crescent, we're going to have what we've been called an imaginarium, right? That's what we call it. We like to get creative around here. And that's the whole point. We are, once a month, we get together on a Monday night and talk about how we can be creative in moving with the Spirit. And this month, we're talking about getting creative about sharing our resources, both among ourselves and among others. So if you're interested in doing that, definitely check that out. Speaking of sharing our resources, there's an offering box in the back. Rod already talked about it, but I thought I'd bring it up again. A few other things that are coming up. Wednesday, May 29th at 7 p.m., there's a movie here. It's about the Lakota people, how the government has mistreated them, and really telling their plight. It's called Red Cry. And I highly recommend you come out and hear about it. If you want more information, talk to Raleigh Booz. And the last thing I want to tell you about is on May 31st, at the end of this month, we're having also here a coffee shop open mic. Elixir, a coffee shop, a really good coffee shop in the city, is going to be doing pour-over coffee and we're going to have some songs. So bring a song to share, or maybe bring a friend you know as a musician. Has been making you listen to their silly song over and over again. This is the place to bring them, so you don't have to hear their song over and over again. Lastly, after this time, we're going to have some snacks out in the lobby. Great time. If you want more information about one of these slides, or if you are new here and just want to meet some people, definitely feel free to ask around. My name is Ben. Come talk to me or anybody else who's been up at this mic. And now Rod's going to play a song once I get over there.
Just wanted to end up with that same song we were talking about, the spirit flowing, moving with us as we're moving. Pray for each other this time. Think about it around the room, how people are, what they're facing, what they're like. Ask for the spirit to flow in their lives and to flow through them. Great to see you and go in the power of the Spirit.